talk about the word do. And it's not D-O, it's D-E-W. So there's quite a bit in the Bible about do. And this has been something that caught my attention a while back, and I was putting together notes on it here and there as I was studying. And then when the pastor asked me to take tonight, I thought, well, I'll just do the study on do. And since it's in the Word of God, it's profitable. And we'll see what it talks about here. But the dictionary definition of do is deposits of water drops formed at night by the condensation of water vapor from the air onto the surface of objects freely exposed to the sky. It forms on clear nights when the air is calm or when the wind is light. And if the temperature of the surface is below the freezing point of water, the deposits take the shape of hoarfrost. So I'm sure we've all seen dew. But hoarfrost, I'll just read that definition too while I'm at it. Deposit of ice crystals on objects exposed to the free air, such as grass blades, tree branches, or leaves. And it's formed by direct condensation of water vapor to ice at temperatures below freezing, and occurs when air is brought to its frost point by cooling. Hoarfrost is formed by a process similar to that which dew is formed, except that in the case of dew, the saturation point of the air mass is above freezing. The occurrence of temperature below freezing forms hoarfrost. So hoarfrost is in the Bible too. So we're going to touch on that while we're at it. So if you want to turn to Job chapter 38, and we'll read a little bit about how God created dew. Or not how he did it, but that God did it. And in this portion of scripture, the Lord is answering Job. Job has had his chance to say things, and his friends said things, and Elihu said some things, and now the Lord's talking. And in Job 38, starting in verse 25, the Lord says, "Who has divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? Or out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it?" So this portion's interesting because in the earlier chapters of Job, it says that if anyone would contend with the Lord, they couldn't answer him one in a thousand questions. And the Lord doesn't ask quite a thousand questions, but Job couldn't answer any of them. And neither could we if the Lord was to answer us, ask us all these kinds of things. You know, who do you think you are? You know, where were you? How did this happen? Who did this? And so it's wonderful. The Lord's just saying that who begot the drops of dew, and who? Where'd the hoarfrost come from? And God created it all. So now we know that the Lord created everything, but this is still wonderful to point out specifically about this. Now let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. And in verses 19 and 20. And Solomon's instructing his son here. And he says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew." So it's God's knowledge that does that. And it's a wonderful thing, just the things that the Lord does. You know, they're you don't really a lot of times pay attention to them or notice them because they seem so in the background. But the Lord does all these wonderful things just all the time. And so you notice that the dew drops down from the clouds. That's going to be an important point in telling us what dew represents. Now, one of the most known portions of scripture about dew is Gideon's fleece, right? So let's turn over to Judges chapter 6. We'll read a little bit about that. So the Lord had sent Gideon to fight the Midianites, which was, they were vastly outnumbered, but he sent Gideon to do that. Gideon wanted to be absolutely sure the Lord wanted him to do this. So in Judges 6, starting in verse 36, And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, by this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So God not only made the dew, but he can have it be on one place and not another. Where dew normally just covers everything, but this was a miraculous thing here that God did, and it was definitely proof enough for Gideon that he went ahead and went to the battle. So let's continue on now. So the word dew is found in the Bible 37 times, and it's all in the Old Testament. And it's a Hebrew word that the lexicon says means night mist or as covering vegetation. So that's dew. And so what does dew represent in the Bible? Well, what things do we know about dew? Dew is silent and gentle, refreshing, and it spreads over the vegetation in the ground. And as I was looking at these descriptions of dew, it made me think of in James where he talks about wisdom that's from above, and he says that it's pure and peaceable and gentle and easy and good and without partiality. It kind of sounds like that, you know. But that's what it is. So it's without partiality, like it spreads over all the ground, the vegetation. So dew represents God's grace, is what in the Bible it represents. And as I mentioned earlier about the dew coming down, well, God's grace comes down to us. We don't show grace up to God. We love God. He loves us. We can go back and forth that way. But we don't show God grace. He shows us grace. So grace comes down. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. So it covers the ground. And this word, this Hebrew word, dew, comes from a root word that means to cover. And Romans 6:14 says, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So we're covered by grace. So that's another way that you could see that this dew represents the grace of God. We're all covered by grace, and thank the Lord that we're covered by grace. We're not under the law. We're covered, and it's a protective covering. It's not like the law was hanging over us as something that was going to smash us if we broke it. It's the dew, the grace of God, that's a good thing. So some little facts about dew concerning the Bible, that rain seldom fell in the land of Canaan, only twice a year, in the former rain in spring and the latter rain in autumn. And between these two rains, the land was made fruitful by plentiful dews. So these dews were very moist. I mean, they brought a lot of moisture to the vegetation there, and it could sustain them through this long period. Well, the former and latter rain represents the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as most of you know that. And the former was on the day of Pentecost, and the latter rain is in our day. Thank the Lord we're in the time of the latter rain. And you think about how blessed we are to be in a time when the Holy Spirit's being poured out, and how thankful to open our eyes of understanding and to take the things of Christ and show them to us, and just to give us the power to overcome. And it's a wonderful time to live, and I'm so thankful I live in this time. So the dew in between these two, the early and latter rain, testifies that the grace of God was always there for man. God always was showing grace, and we live in the dispensation of grace. Since the day of Pentecost, this church age is the dispensation of grace. And on our church steps there, they have that verse, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you need grace to grow. And the plants needed moisture to grow, and if the rain weren't there, the dew was there always. And so we grow in grace. We need the grace of God to grow. So going on, dew, therefore, was a leading source of fertility. And in the Bible, it's coupled many times with divine blessing. So let's turn over to Genesis 27. We'll look at a couple of these. And Genesis 27 is where Isaac's going to bless Jacob. Now, Jacob had, and Rebekah together had tricked Isaac since he couldn't see, and made Isaac think that Jacob was Esau, because Esau was the oldest. He was supposed to get the blessing, but then he sold it to his brother, so he was going to get it. So in Genesis 27, we'll see what his blessing is, starting in verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth with plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." So you see there that he said, this is the blessing. The Lord give thee of the dew of heaven, because they needed that, naturally speaking, in those days. They needed that dew to have crops and things to grow. So so after this, Jacob leaves, and then here comes Esau with his venison, and he brings it to his father, and his father says, "Who are you?" Says, "Your brother tricked me, and he got the blessing." And so Esau is all upset. He gets upset with his brother, but if you start now looking in verse 38, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above." So you think about this, it kind of almost sounds like they got the same blessing, but there's some differences. So one thing with Jacob in verse 28, he not only got the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, but he got the plenty of corn and wine. And corn and wine, that refers to someone that's mature that can take that in. You don't give that kind of stuff to a little baby. So that shows the maturity there. And then if you in verse 39, where his dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven, it sort of sounds the same. But in verse 28, Jacob says, "God give thee of these things." They were given to Jacob. But in verse 39, he says, "Thy dwelling shall be there." So they were both able to share in the blessings of these things, but Jacob owned them. And Esau was just there to, he could benefit from them, but he didn't own them. Jacob owned them. It was Esau's dwelling. So there's a big difference there. But the old man and the new man are both blessed by dew and also in the natural, by grace. Jesus said that your father maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So natural man and spiritual man are both blessed, but the new man gets the spiritual blessing. It's not just a natural thing. And then let's turn over to Deuteronomy 33 and see Moses' final blessing on the tribes of Israel. So in going through all the different tribes as Moses blessed them, you realize that Joseph got the double portion. And in Deuteronomy 33, verse 13, "And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that couches beneath." And I'm not going to read the rest of it, but just pointing that out, that Joseph got the double portion, and he was blessed with the things of heaven, the dew. The dew came down from heaven. And then going over to verse 26, after he had individually mentioned the tribes, then he speaks of Israel collectively. So starting in verse 26, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun," and Jeshurun is just a poetic name for Israel, "who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Stop there. But so Israel was blessed. The whole nation was. And thinking of dew representing grace, how much grace has God shown to Israel over the years? It's been marvelous. You know, that nation, they're still his chosen people. And even though that they have rejected him right now and they're set aside, there's blindness upon that nation, yet God still shows them grace. And there's a remnant that's always there. And then he's going to restore them. But he's shown great grace to Israel over the years. And he's shown great grace to all of us, honestly. Praise the Lord. So thank the Lord. The blessing of God has to do with this, the grace of God. And then I'll just mention one more in passing. In Proverbs 19:12, says, The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. So let's turn over to Psalm 133. This is a familiar psalm to most of us. Short one. Just a few verses here, so I'm just going to read that. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And a lot of times we read those first two verses, and you think about Aaron being a high priest and being anointed with oil, and how it just ran down his beard and onto his garments, and what a wonderful picture that is. But then it goes on, and it says that this brethren dwelling together is like the dew of Hermon. So the dew of Hermon, that mountain there was really plentiful dews at that place. And there was a quote I read that one man spent the night in a tent there, and he said, We experience what the psalmist means by the dew of Hermon. Our tents were as wet as if it had rained all night, just from the dew. So there was plentiful rains there. So when it talks about the picture of the oil flowing over Aaron, his head and his beard, you can just picture the dew just being plentiful, being a lot of dew like that. And it descended upon the mountains of Zion. So again, grace coming down. And the Lord commanded the blessing. He didn't just give a blessing. He commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So hallelujah for the grace of God, everlasting life. And it's all we know through Jesus Christ, but it's all the grace of God. It's nothing that we can earn or merit in any way. It has to be the grace of God. So that's the blessing, the dew, and you could picture that if you would think of just that much dew. That, as the Bible says, God's able to make all grace abound toward you. It's not just a little, it's all, it's abundant. And then and I'll just quote another scripture in passing here, Hosea 14:5. Ray Quintana preached on this last November. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. So God says, I'll be like the dew to Israel. And he's going to grow like the lily. As the lily needs moisture to grow, and this dew, speaking of the heavenly grace of God, is going to cause the lily. We're likened to lilies in the Song of Solomon. Praise the Lord. And so Israel is going to grow because God's going to be the dew for them. Now let's turn over to Deuteronomy 32. And this is the Song of Moses. And starting in verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. And that's, if you want to just read a precious song, read that song that Moses wrote, that the Lord gave him to write. But he says, my doctrine, which is teaching, shall drop as the rain, but my speech will distill as the dew. Now, distill, I'll tell you what that means. Means to purify water by vaporizing it, then condensing it by cooling the vapor and collecting the resulting liquid. So just like with dew, it becomes a vapor and then it condenses, and in so doing, it distills it, it purifies it. And so when Moses is saying here the words that the Lord told him, my speech shall distill as the dew. And the speech, the word of God, is going to distill, it's going to purify. And for that, I want to turn over, and before I go there, for one thing though, it talks about the showers upon the grass, and the Bible a lot of times refers to grass as people. In fact, one place in Isaiah 40 actually says the people is grass. So the showers upon the grass, that's the grace of God upon us. But turn over to Titus chapter 2 in connection with this song of Moses. And the last time I got to preach up here, I read this portion, but Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So again, here, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. The dew came down and went upon everything there. But it's teaching us, as Moses said, that he was, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my teaching will drop as the rain. So it's teaching us what we should do. The grace of God doesn't teach us that we can do whatever we want and get away with it. That's not what it's teaching us. It teaches us to deny the worldly things and ungodly things and to live for the Lord. And looking for that blessed hope, hallelujah, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking for tonight, all the time, looking for Jesus to appear, hallelujah. And he gave himself for us, thank you, Jesus, that he would redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. So purify, that's talking about like that distill. My speech shall distill. And Jesus is purifying unto himself a peculiar people. He's purifying us. And it's by the word of God as we take it in. And it works in us. And it's like that wine being poured in and the dregs flowed out. And it's just being purified. More and more of the word of God. He must increase, we must decrease. And again, that word peculiar, I brought this out. I just got to say it again, though. That word peculiar is only this one time in the Bible, in the Greek. And it has a special meaning. It means special or one's very own. And it's a compound of two different Greek words that mean around and I am. So the peculiar people are the ones that are around the I am. I love that. I love that. I'm a peculiar person. I want to be around the I am, around the throne, in the midst of the throne. Hallelujah. All right, and then 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So again, the word of God purifying us. And it's that blessed hope. When our hope is always looking for the Lord to appear, it makes us live for him. We're not getting caught up with the things that distract in the world. We're wanting to look for the Lord and to know more about him, so when he gets here, we just know him that much better. Hallelujah. And then getting back to some more about dew, let's go back to Exodus 16. And this is a portion about manna. And so Israel had murmured against Moses, and God said that he would rain bread from heaven. And in Exodus 16, verses 13 and 14. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. So there's the dew and the hoarfrost again. But dropping down to verse 31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. Manna just means, what is it? They didn't know what it was. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So the manna speaks of the word of God, the bread of life. And the psalmist said, thy words are sweeter than honey, and they are. But as it came down, the dew came down. The grace of God brought the word to us, the words of life to us. And thankful for the Holy Spirit that gives us the enlightenment to know what they are. You know, because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't really understand most of this book. You can know some of it by being born again. You're going to understand it that way. But and if you're really going to know the Bible, you need the Holy Spirit to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. So it's the grace of God. And again, the Holy Spirit's a gift from God. Nothing we can do to earn or merit the Holy Spirit. It's a gift our Father gave us. He wants us to have the Holy Spirit, and we seek the Holy Spirit. And there was many prayer requests tonight for loved ones and those we know that want to be filled or need to be filled, and maybe they don't know they need it yet, but we want them to be filled. And even those, I think of some I know of that were filled a long time ago but haven't been staying full. And you need to stay full. You need to keep the Holy Spirit, stir up that gift, and that's how we're going to continue on, because we need all the help we can get, that's for sure, in these days. So anyway, going on, and turn over to John 6, and this is a little more about the manna. John 6, starting in verse 30. They said therefore unto him, unto Jesus, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So Jesus is that bread of life. And the manna came down from heaven, Jesus came down from heaven. I thought about different things. You know, we have like the rain descends from heaven, the snow, Jesus, the Holy Spirit was sent down from heaven. These are wonderful blessings we have from God. And so the grace of God, the dew coming down from heaven. And Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Hallelujah. Aren't you so thankful? The Lord gives you a desire for the word of God and a love for it. Okay, so let's turn over to Job 29. And dew also speaks of youth. So Job 29, starting verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. So Job's looking back, and you know, he's been through quite a trial here, and he's just looking back, oh, if I was like I used to be. And then in verse 19, he says, my root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. So Job's just looking back, and you know, we can get this way too. We get into a trial, especially if it's a long one, it's wearing us down, and we think, you know, when I first started out with the Lord, there was so much grace in my life and things were wonderful, and now it seems like the trials are getting worse and the dew's not there, things are drying up. But you know, the Lord's working in us through this. And we know the end of the story with Job. Job got twice as much. He got a double portion. And the Lord wants us to have a double portion. But, you know, it's in our early Christian experience, you know, things do seem like it's wonderful, you know. Things are bright and there's plenty to do and we're growing and the Lord's with us and for us. He answers our prayers right away. But boy, as time goes on and you get into things and you might pray for something for a year and just keep seeking the Lord for it. And it's like, Lord, when are you going to answer this one? But you trust him for it. You know he has his timing that's perfect. But you're maturing. You know, as a little child, they don't have much patience. They just, you know, mommy, daddy, and they just keep, you know, bothering you, pestering you until you answer them. But, you know, you wouldn't expect that from a mature adult son of yours to come up to you and start pestering you, daddy, daddy, daddy. You know? No, they would ask you, you know, father, you know, for something, and then you say, okay, you know, I'll pray about it, and I'll let you know. And it might not be right away. It'll be at some time. But it's because of the maturity there. They can expect to wait from you. They know by now that you're going to answer them in love and you're going to answer them in wisdom. And so they can wait on that and not get all upset. So it's a thing that Job went through. And it's just kind of interesting how he looked at that. You know, I had all the dew and all the grace and now it's all gone. But he just didn't. And sometimes we don't see it either. Well, we don't see it, but we can know by faith that the Lord's working something in our life. Amen. And it's going to be for our good. And then Psalm 110, verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. And that's a precious thing. From the womb of the morning, the dew of thy youth. This is speaking of Christ. This is the emblem of youthful, fresh, living, beautiful, infinite rigor. It's Christ. It's the life of Christ. And so I love that the womb of the morning, just like when they were announcing that Jesus was going to be born, it said the day spring from on high. He just came like the sun rising, you know, just you don't hear it, but it comes over and just envelops the whole land. And it's you can't stop it. But that's how Jesus came, and just quiet as a baby. But this verse is along the same line. The womb of the morning, the dew of thy youth, and praise the Lord. So dew also has a reference to resurrection. Let's turn over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 19. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So there's a big contrast there from dust to dew, isn't there? You know, dust is, the Bible talks about the dust of death. And it's dry and it's dull. But dew is, there's moisture there. It's alive, and this word herbs is kind of interesting. Thy dew shall be as the dew of herbs. The word means luminousness, prosperity. And so you think about if you could picture dew droplets on some blades of grass or something and how they sparkle in the sunlight and just bring forth, they just like sparkling, shining. That's what this is picturing. And it comes from the... It's actually the feminine of the word that is in Genesis 1:3, which says, when God said, let there be light. It's that same word, just the feminine of it. So when God said, let there be light, and there was light, that was right there at the beginning of creation. And that's speaking of us being born again. It's illumination. It's the spiritual enlightenment that we get when we're born again. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. You have to be born again. And so that kind of lightning, that spiritual enlightenment and illumination is what this is picturing here. It's about resurrection. And from we were dead in sins and trespasses, and then we're born again. We're brought from death to life, a resurrection, as it were. And so there's a light there, the glistening. There's the herbs. And then also in, turn over to, well, I'll just read this one. Daniel 12 is about resurrection also. Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So there's the resurrection there. But again, from the dust, the contrast in the dust to those that will shine as the brightness of the firmament. So praise the Lord that dew speaks of resurrection. And by the grace of God, you know, we want to be in that first resurrection. Hallelujah. And that's what Paul prayed for and wanted, and that's what we want. So let's turn over to now the Song of Solomon. Close with this. Chapter 5. And I'm just going to read verse 2 here. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. So what had happened here is that it was nighttime, and she had gotten tired and was getting sleepy. And, the night speaks of trials. You know, we have our night times and the trials, and they can get worn out, get a little sleepy. But isn't it wonderful that his voice stirred her heart? And so she got up. Think about it, and the gracious words he says to her, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. And we don't think of ourselves that way a lot. A lot of times we think, why does the Lord love me like he does? But that's how he sees us. Those are the gracious words that are from him. But the dew was on his head. His head was filled with dew. And dew doesn't fall in a stormy, windy night. It has to be real calm. And it doesn't fall like rain where you get, it's just a little bit at a time. So he had to be out there a while. And his head was filled with it. So the Lord's there with us all the time, whether we know he is or not. He's right there waiting on us, waiting for us to just, to seek him. He's always there. And it's like the dew, it's quiet. You don't know what's going on, but he's there the whole time. And so this made me think of, as his hair was full of dew, and dew speaking of grace, and John 1:14 says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is there for us, full of grace and truth, and the ones who will receive the most grace are going to be the ones that bring him the most glory. Hallelujah. So hallelujah. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. I've enjoyed it. So let's stand and be dismissed.